Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Bible Study. I hope this is a blessing to you, and we appreciate your participation with us through this media. Now, let's get to the sermon.
Typically, I'll start by reading this passage right here, which is more of a reminder for me than anyone else. So this is from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. As Brad said, my name is Mason Puckett. She's going to hate me. But the beautiful redhead over there is my wife. Her name's Alyssa. But as is appropriate, let's read God's word together. So this is, we're going to start. So the passage this morning is 1 John 1, all 10 verses. It's not going to be on the screen right there, but you can open up your own physical Bibles in the pews in front of you, or your own, which I hope you have. So I'm going to give you a second to get there. 1 John 1. And so if you guys could actually go ahead and stand as we read God's word. So, and I'm reading from the NASB. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. And I just pray that as we go into more depth of this passage, that you would be revealing to us as you have through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your word. Be revealing to us just the love that you have for us and how that completely changes our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. Okay, so I am by trade a science teacher, and I tell you that for two reasons. All right, first reason is I hope you feel comfortable with participation because I might call on you randomly, and I'm happy to have people say amen whenever in agreement. That happens in my class sometimes. It's weird. Okay, thank you. All right, yeah, so that's very encouraging to me. So if you ever feel like shouting something, don't hesitate. All right? Appropriately, Eli. Thank you. All right? Just please. All right? The other reason I say that I'm a science teacher specifically by trade is I really love science. And you might get a little glimpse of that. I'm sorry. All right. That being said, let's talk about light. Okay. I have some slides. And Mason, I don't know if they're up yet or not. All right. So I've titled this In Light of the Light, capital at the end, okay? So in light, and we'll get there in a little bit. But, okay, so light. Light is weird, all right? It's very, 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 very weird. And yet, most of the time, we take it, like, completely for granted. Light is so much a part of everyday existence that we barely even notice it. However, when it's absent, we are completely debilitated. The question, what is light, for a long time, really kind of broke physics for a little bit. Early in the 1900s, that question raged on for a while, and it was known that light has no mass. It's not part of any matter. It's not like, you know, there's no part of it. So like, but it, is it, the question posed was, is it made of particles, as in like small pieces? Go to the next slide. All right. Is it like particles, like small little pieces that are indivisible? Or is it a continuous stream of like waves that can be interfered with each other and that kind of stuff? So it's a kind of a weird question. Anybody know the answer? Anybody? Don't. If you're part of, well, yeah. If you're part of my family, no answer. Any other, anybody? No? Which one is it? Wave? All right, raise your hand if you think wave. Raise your hand if you think particle. Lindsay's having some PTSD from high school. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So congratulations. If you raised your hand at all, you are correct. It is both. All right. So next slide. All right. So this is a bunch of stuff that I don't necessarily need to go to. But like, you see how you can explain all these different phenomenons either by waves or by particles. Some of them both. But some of them, they only work under one definition. If it's particles, then we can't really explain all these other things like refraction and interference and diffraction. Big words that I don't need to describe right now. So regardless, why the heck am I telling you this? Okay, so it's both. In some cases, light behaves more like a bunch of little packets of energy. We call them photons, and sometimes it behaves like it's a continuous wave through space that can interfere with itself, and it's weird. But how can that be? Okay, that makes no sense to our brains. So why do I tell you this? So light is physical, yet changes our challenges our idea of what the word physical means. Like it's not something material. And it is paradoxical, and yet we can understand it to a small degree. So let's how the heck does that apply to 1 John 1? Okay, so let's look back at 1 John 1. So a little background for just the book of 1 John. This is a letter that was written to churches in the region of Ephesus in modern day Turkey. It is a bit of an odd letter in that there's no salutation, there's no greeting as there is in most like epistles, and it kind of reads more like a sermon than a letter. And the author does this kind of like looping argument thing where he just keeps coming back to the same thing over and over and over again. It's not more like Western argument. It's very like, thank you. He says something and then he goes back to it. And he says something and goes back to it. Who wrote it is kind of debated. The book is technically anonymous and scholars will debate which John specifically wrote it. However, the answer of which, like, answering the question which John wrote it might not significantly affect how we interpret the book. What will be very helpful is to compare it to the Gospel John 1. Okay, so if you could actually turn with me to John 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. Another passage that would be very helpful to understand this is also, we'll keep going further back. Genesis 1, many of you will know this off the top of your heads. It's Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, somebody, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. Okay, so let's just kind of unpack. Let's go back. So now that we have those in our brains, okay, Go back to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, the material stuff that we have seen, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So in these first four verses, there's a lot there. So light, can you go to the next slide? Yeah. Light allows us to see the work of God around us. Whether that be physical things that he has given us in terms of like how he's provided for us, or people he's put into our lives. So God and his love for us is both the message and the revealer of that message through Jesus. So this is the gospel, that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can now be with God, who is the source of all life. Thank you. Amen. And so go back to this. So in verse 3, what we have seen... verse 2. And the life was manifested, as in Jesus, the word of life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Eternal life. So this is both eternal in duration and eternal in depth. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Or John 10:10, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God gave it both eternal in duration and in depth. So heaven, or like eternal life, is now. That is one of the big things that I wanted to say. So one thing, treasure this testimony of what you have seen and what you have heard. Because the ability to honestly tell people how God has brought you joy is what this world is really longing for. Not just happiness that fades, but deep satisfaction in the love that we can have, knowing that our sin is covered, that we have an advocate with the Father. If he is your joy, and you can honestly testify to that, who can refute that testimony? And also, what is bringing the author joy? Not just his testimony, but expressing, telling that testimony. These things we write these things so that our joy may be made complete. Okay, so that's the first thing. Light allows us to see God's work around us and in us, and that's seen in this passage. Next slide. God is light. Okay, this is not to be mistaken for the idea that light is God. Okay, we are not worshiping the sun. God created the sun and everything that it beholds. But this is a great characterization of who God is through a number of different reasons. So, God is one that we often take for granted, and yet without whom we absolutely cannot function. God is paradoxically multiple things at once in the Trinity. I hesitate to even like go there because it is hard to wrap our brains around how light can be both a particle and a wave, as well as it's very hard to wrap our brains around that God is three distinct Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and yet one simultaneously. God provides warmth and energy to all of life. There's the only way that anything can is through that, so through light. Reveals to us the truth of who we are when we look in a mirror and when we look in the Bible, and the truth of what is real whenever we look outside and we look at each other. He is both the message and the messenger, just like you can send communication through different ways of commuting through light. So that was just so how God is light. So what does it mean to walk in the light, though, like the passage tells you? So let's look at verses 6 and 7. So verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So light allows us to see the path and to see others. Okay. Allows us to see the path in front of us, able to understand what we're supposed to do, and it allows us to see the people around us. When you see anything that is basically just light from some source, bouncing off of something, everybody, actually, what I want you to do, put out your hand. Look at your hand, okay? This is mind-boggling to me. Just the idea of how sight works. So what's happening when you are looking in the grooves of your hand, okay, is purely just lights from these light bulbs bouncing off and coming into your eye, and your brain interprets that as a chemical signal and relays that to your brain. And that process is so infinitely complex, and yet we completely overlook it. Literally, overlook it. Like, when we're looking at anything, we don't think about it. This verse, but we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, cleanses us from all sin. So when in close relationship with God, our path is in life is understandable and possibly joyful. And not just possibly. What does it mean to walk in the light? Ultimately, it means that we're following God's commands. That's the easiest way to say it. And to do so unashamed where others can see. But that where others can see can sometimes kind of the hard part. So when in close relationship with God, we can more easily walk alongside others in close, vulnerable, fulfilling relationships. Because, so the fall, Adam and Eve, did not only ruin relationship with God, but also with each other. Jesus made it so we can walk together and truly see each other as we are. Only in openly, honestly communicating with each other are we going to find the joy God calls us to. We're designed for that community. And not only in a once a week, see each other, say hi kind of way. I feel like that's not truly seeing each other. It's kind of easy to put up these blinders and pay attention to only our own lives and our own problems or those of our immediate family. But I would challenge myself and challenge you to widen maybe a little bit understanding of who is in my family. Who is God calling me to see more intimately, or to see as part of my brother or as my sister in Christ. So light allows us to see our path and to see others. So we must enjoy vulnerable relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. But part of that relationship we have with each other is going to be some form of confession. So go to the next slide. So let's read these next couple verses. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So all of this, especially the second half of this chapter, that is founded on the fundamental principle that we are all broken. we are all very, very much the entire world as we see it, all the pain that comes from everything is from that brokenness that started at the beginning. And Jesus made a way through his sacrifice to then come closer, come back to the source of all life and light, which is God. And he showed that to us through his sacrifice on the cross. Amen. So, considering that, only with that as your backdrop, could we ever have the courage to say, I, Mason Puckett, am a sinner. And the thing is, though, that so often, so I think one big point here I want to make is that we should not be surprised by our own sin. I know myself, in my heart of hearts, I build up this house of cards sometimes through good works, through church activity, through occasionally trying to share the gospel, through abstaining from this, that, or the other, in order to be good enough. All of that, when it's an attempt to please God, is just filthy rags. And I know that that was, like, that might sound surprising. Like, oh, I want to please God. Like, yes, but God is pleased with you because when he sees you, he sees Jesus. In the book Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, it's the foreword was written by a peer of his, and it's meant to describe the author's spiritual life as a model for us. And it says this about him, that when he failed in his duty, he only confessed his fault, saying to God, "I shall never do otherwise if you leave me to myself. It is you who must hinder my falling and mend what is a mess." That after this, he gave himself no further uneasiness about it. So we can fall into two categories sometimes where we hesitate to recognize our sin and say, "Oh, I never sin." Or we get to a point where we say, "I have sinned, and in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that God could really do anything about it." But what does this say? What is this promise that we have in verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to both forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's hope for healing from addiction. There's hope for healing from any of the from the pain that we feel associated with the sin of just messed up relationships. There's hope for that in this life and in the next. So we can joyfully walk in the light. And when, not if, when we fall and start walking in darkness again, we hold the weight of that sin sorrowfully, but not so sorrowfully that we keep ourselves from going back to God for grace. It's this tension of understanding the weight of sin while understanding also how much God loves us. And lastly, this light allows us to not only see others, but be seen by others. So if we live with this understanding of total depends on God to walk in the light, confession is so much easier. Although it's still very, very, very difficult sometimes, especially whenever it's to another person. And this has to be done, you know, appropriately to the right person. It's funny how often it feels so much easier, though, to confess to a perfect, all-powerful God than it does to confess our sins to a fellow sinner, which is ironic. And it just shows us our misunderstanding of how big God is. But let me tell you from personal experience, confession of sins to a fellow believer might be the most freeing experience you ever have. It's terrifying, but only after we have been fully known by our brother or sister in Christ can we be really deeply loved. So let yourself be known. You will find freedom, and you might just encourage the person that you confess to as well. If you could actually go. So a couple questions that I have for application things, if you're one who likes to write notes down. A couple questions, things that we want to do. Treasure and share the testimony of what you have seen and what you have heard. How can I reflect more deeply on how God has worked in my life personally? Where might God be calling me to share that testimony with other believers or non-believers? And then enjoy relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Who in my community am I not seeing that God is calling me to see? And then lastly, when you sin, boldly confess and repent of that. Where and why am I hiding my faults from others or myself? With whom could I reach out to be more honest with my shortcomings? So I'm gonna pray for us, and then me and Alyssa are gonna go on to our next thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for this day, and I just pray that you'd be helping us to see both simultaneously the weight of our sin, but also the glory and freedom we have in confession and repentance. And God, may you point out to us the light that we are not seeing right now, the ways in which you are loving us that we have yet to recognize. And so as we go throughout the rest of this week, may you show yourself good as you always do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.